this is Neil Funk, and you're listening to Frank on the Chicago Bullseye.
Hello, this is Nick Friedel, and you're listening to Frank on the Chicago Bullseye. Hi, this is Chuck Swirsky, and you're listening to Frank on the Chicago Bullseye.
I'm Bob Love of the Chicago Bulls, and you listen to Freddie.
Hello, Bulls fans. Welcome to the Chicago Bullseye. I am your occasional host, Mark Lewisall, and with me, as always, is the new host of the show. I call him the doctor. To all of you, he's C-Red Fred, Fred Pfeiffer. How you doing, Fred? Long time.
Mark, it's awesome to talk to you. I love taking the color spot every once in a while. This is a lot of fun, man. It's good. It's good to have a reunion here, like the Simon and Garfunkel reunion. Of course, I'm Paul Simon. You're Art Garfunkel, but let's hit the ground running, man. What's up with you?
I'm going to consider myself more of a Paul Simon guy myself. I'm not a Garfunkel. You know what? I don't even like the comparison. I hate Simon and Garfunkel. Sorry.
How dare you?
I hate that fan.
Are you kidding me? I can't believe we never talked about
this. I'm not a fan at all. If I want to take a nap, I'll put up some Simon and Garfunkel.
Well, right now I'd rather listen to Art Garfunkel's solo records than watch the Bulls lately. Although, what do you know? They win it to kind of like, you know, fake us out. I'm sure it's going to be a disgusting display on Friday. But, you know, the Pistons are awful. They've lost four in a row. It'll be five tonight. Terrible team on the road. I think they've lost seven in a row on the road.
There's some highlights, though.
To see
Luol Deng back tonight. Did you see who was in the booth with Luol Deng? You had guys like such classic Bulls. It's Aaron Gray, Gennaro Pargo. You had Ben Gordon in the house. You had Joakim Noah. I believe that you had Tyrus Thomas. I think that I spied some Tyrus there. And then also, obviously, on the floor, the great Derrick Rose. And what a season he's having once again. It's just great to see Derrick. It's great to see the reception Bulls fans are finally giving him. I'm starting to hate Bulls fans a little bit less than I did a couple of years ago. Now that they're respecting Derrick again and treating him the way he deserves to be played, deserves to be treated.
What? Wait a sec. What the heck is Aaron Gray doing there? Who invited that turd?
Luol, man. It's Luol Sweet. He got to choose who he invited. He picked this game because of Derrick. Aaron Gray's there. You wouldn't know that it was Aaron Gray. He looked kind of like a Sasquatch. But apparently, that ball of fur used to be Aaron Gray.
I can't believe he was there. All right. We'll get into Luol.
How does Ben Gordon feel, too, is that Luol's getting all this, and it's like, did Luol really do much more than Gordon? I guess Luol had the all-star appearance. Does Gordon have that?
Yeah, I mean, Luol is one of the few players to straddle both the Baby Bulls and then the Thibodeau-era Bulls. So he absolutely... You know I love Ben Gordon, but he deserves his night more than Ben does. Just for that reason alone, since Ben was basically just part of the Baby Bulls. But I haven't talked to you in forever. I want your take on this disaster of a season so far. I mean, Jim Boylan's basically, I didn't think it was possible, but all the sea redness in my body, he somehow managed to shoot with me with lightning bolts like the Emperor. Well, what say you? What do you think about this?
he's been awful. Obviously, it's a very disappointing start. I mean, part of what's tough is that at the way beginning, I was like, I thought this team was better than the record because you've had so many close games where they've lost the lead or, you know, crazy things have happened at the end. But then when it keeps happening over and over again, you're not better than your record. You really are this crappy. I mean, obviously the biggest disappointment here is the play of Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen. I mean, these are the cornerstones of this team at the moment. What I'm seeing out of Lauri Markkanen, Zach LaVine, I'm not as surprised. I thought he played a lot on his mind last year. He's not a good defender. He's always made poor choices. Especially this year, you've seen it down the stretch where he just makes dumb passes or take just awful shots. And you're just like, what are you doing? He'll just turn the ball over, like just to turn it over when the game is close. But I'm not as surprised with him. With Lauri Markkanen, he showed us these flashes where I did think that we'd see him take a dramatic ride this year now that he came in healthy. But, you know, Lauri, this is more than him missing his shots. There's a lack of toughness that I see out of it, day in and day out, even tonight. He had a great stat line tonight. He got 24 points tonight, but he was so lucky. He started off the game hot because Sadoransky got him open on a couple drives, just easy open drives.
Yeah,
he got to the line also 300 times, and he got fouled at the three-point line at least twice, if not three times. So, I mean, he got extremely lucky tonight. He got as lucky as you can get, and he only had 24 points. One of his best games of the season.
Well, only had 24.
But how disappointing after the first game of the season to have all these stinkers. I think he's shooting, I had it up in front of me, but I mean, it's in like the mid-30s for the season. But again, the issue is, to me, the lack of toughness. Whenever he goes in for a dunk, if it's not wide open, I think he's going to get stuck every single time. I never have faith in his jump shot. He can't create at all. He's been... you know, he had to be wide open. I mean, he has no toughness down low for a big guy. His shots are always getting blocked, or he's making a dumb pass and turning it over. You can tell that his confidence is a little slack right now. Hopefully we can get it back a little bit, but I don't believe that toughness is something that you're necessarily just going to gain. I mean, I'm starting to lose faith because I'm not seeing little snippets and signs that Lowry's ever going to be a cornerstone of this franchise. And the fact is, thank God the draft has changed, where at least now, if not, you have to be the worst of the worst to get the top picks. You know, there's a chance for anybody that's in that lower 10 to potentially end up with the top picks, because at the moment, I think we've got some good pieces, which I'm sure we'll get into in a moment, but I don't think that we have that piece now, right, where we can build that. We'll be riding the big red bus anytime soon.
You've said a lot, so let me comment on a few things. First of all, you can't just crap all over Lowry and not mention it tonight. He played 29 minutes. He was 7-14 from the field, 3-4 from 3, 7-11. He got to the free throw line 11 times, and he had, you know, 6 rebounds and 24 points. That's a fantastic game. He played well.
But he had a lot of luck.
You're 3-4 from the 3-point line is not luck. If you're shooting 75, this is the line I expected from him, Mark. This is what I wanted out of Lauri Markkanen this entire season. So I wasn't ready to bury him yet. I mean, it was getting real close. He was playing terrible, and he lost all faith in his shot. I know he was at a low point. I still believe the guy. I used to think he had top 10 talent to be one of the top 10 players in the NBA. I'm not there now. I've obviously fallen off of that. But I think he could be a good, you know, B, Robin type of player. The guy I'm more frustrated with, and I know it's going to be a surprise, is Zach LaVine, 2-11 tonight. Overall, he's had some really nice games. If you look at his plus-minus in every game this year, it's appalling. It's shocking. It's disturbing to see how often he's been leading the team in the negative, like negative 12, negative 14. That is something that, if you see a pattern for that, that is a really bad sign.
For sure.
I am very concerned about Zach LaVine, because even when he appears to have good games, he'll still be double digits in the negative on the plus-minus. For whatever reason, this team is not playing well when Zach LaVine is on the court. And he's the guy I predicted before the year would be the All-Star. He's the guy I thought this team was set up perfectly for, because they surrounded him with shooters, and his defense hasn't improved. It's been awful. I'm really disappointed. Tonight he gets to the free throw line all 0 times. So, 3 rebounds. I mean, 27 minutes, 2 of 11. I don't know what to say. Big picture, I'm still bullish on the talent. I mean, Coby White up and down, some very high ups and some very low downs. But overall, you got to be feeling good about him. And Wendell Carter Jr. is a total stud tonight, 12 points. I think he had 15 rebounds. Just fantastic game. 6-8 from the free throw line. I believe in those guys. Those are good players, future really good players. But, you know, LaVine is just that's the guy I'm really worried about, because he's never been a winner on any team, and I'm starting to wonder why. Maybe it's not just that the team talent around him's been bad. Maybe he has something to do with it.
Well, I think, Fred, ultimately, he doesn't make his teammates better. And, I mean, it's obvious with the plus and minus that he's not doing it, but you just have to watch him. I mean, he's constantly going one-on-one in ISO. I mean, you'll see him make crazy shots sometimes. So the problem is, when he's not making his crazy shots, obviously he has poor nights, but then you have nights like tonight where he just disappears. I mean, you just like, I almost felt like I had to kind of look, I was like, is Zach LaVine playing tonight? Like, well, what's going on? Where's Zach LaVine? I mean, there's nights where he just completely disappears, but especially I've noticed it in the fourth quarter, and when it counts the most, is when he just does the dumbest things, and he tries to take everybody off the dribble, he'll go right into traffic, he'll get the ball stolen, he'll turn it over. I mean, he's never looking to make the right play, and especially at the end of the game. So, I mean, when he passes it to a teammate, it never seems like it's calculated. It seems like he's just chucking the ball away because he realizes that he's being defended. I mean, he never seems to make the right pass. And, I mean, ultimately, that's what it is. I mean, he's only scoring 20 points a game this year. There's no reason why his shooting should be, scoring less than he was last year. He's not shooting particularly well. He's shooting 41% overall. 35% from three, taking 7 attempts a game. I mean, you know, those numbers aren't too great, and when that's the only thing you can do, you got to be doing substantially better in that category. You got to be doing like James Harden type stuff in that category if literally the only thing you can do is score for yourself. I mean, he doesn't make players better. And I agree with you, Fred, in terms of the bright marks that we're seeing. But, hey, I don't believe that those bright marks are necessary. They're not the players that you're going to be able to build a future around. However, they could be very nice pieces if they're able to get another piece to fill in some of these gaps. And as far as Otto Carter Jr. goes, he has improved tremendously. However, I'm not seeing the offensive, him being much of an offensive player. I mean, he doesn't really have much of a post game. He's able to do, like, put back rebounds that he's able to get. But I don't really see, you know, he doesn't show any ability to really shoot the ball, and he certainly doesn't show an ability to tough guys up down low and make and use his size to his advantage around the hoop. Now, that's something that you can learn. He's only 20 years old. He's still growing. He seems to have a high basketball IQ, and I love his attitude. But nothing has shown me yet that this is a guy. I don't think we have a piece here that when the Bulls start really winning again, maybe they'll make the playoffs, because, I mean, at the moment they're, only like 2 games out. I mean, and obviously the season goes on, that could change.
Yeah,
but the East sucks. So yeah, they could make it at some point despite the East sucking. But if they're ever going to be a winner again, whether it's a championship or just, you know, a contender to be a player in the Eastern Conference, I don't think you've got that guy here yet that's going to be the guy that's going to help get you there.
Well, the Bulls are still only 1.5 games out of seventh seed. After all my predictions and after all this nonsense and how horrible it's been, which is a testament, you're exactly right. If you look at the Wizards, Atlanta, Detroit, and Cleveland, they all have 4 wins. Bulls have 5 after tonight. Charlotte, Orlando, and Brooklyn are at 7, 8, 9, and they have 6 wins. So we're really just 1.5 games out of seventh seed. I mean, we're still in this. We could still right the ship. I just have very little belief in Jim Boylan anymore. The fact that this guy, the fact that Daniel Gafford sat his rear end glued to the bench for a month, and this guy had the temerity to get into the post game and say, what I love about Daniel Gafford, he knows who he is and he doesn't try to be more than he is. He doesn't try to prove me wrong. The mere fact that he sat on the bench for an entire month and scored 21 points in the only game you decided to play him, it proved you wrong, Jim. Proved you wrong. Proved how dumb and how dopey your talent evaluation was. You played a joke in Luke Cornett over 100 minutes. I knew after 15 minutes that stiff couldn't play, and you still kept on bringing that guy night after night out there with just a ridiculous plus minus, missing shot after shot from the 3-point line. I have zero faith in this guy. I believe in the talent on this team. I think you're wrong when you say that this team doesn't have talent and it's not a playoff team. I really think it has playoff talent. I think they're better than the Wizards.
Well, I didn't say that.
They have an alpha
to be a really good team. They could make the playoffs. This team could make the playoffs for sure. Granted, they've lost at least one game to every single team that's above them that is not in the playoffs right now.
Yeah.
But they haven't beat
anybody good. Yeah, you're right. They haven't beat anybody good. Win on Friday, beat the Heat, and then I'll start changing my tune again. You know, and tonight was a nice win. You got to hand it to them. They won by 20 over a team they should have beat at home. That's great. But so far, what, you beat Detroit twice, you beat the Knicks, you beat Memphis. You know, you beat the bottom feeders. That's who you've taken care of, and Atlanta Hawks. You know, so
they were very competitive against the Lakers. They've been competitive-ish against the Bucks. Well, I mean, I never really actually thought they'd win the game. So, either of the 2 games against the Bucks. The first game they had more of a chance in the second game, but I never really thought they had a shot. But they hung in there and they didn't get blown out, which was decent to see. But you know, the Lakers game was somewhat impressive. But again, this is not a team that's in a category where they should be competing with those teams. We're not a good basketball team, and maybe they will make the playoffs, but it's because the East sucks, and they can do damage in the East. I mean, if this team grows, then I agree their coach sucks. If they replace the coach, and if this team grows together a little bit, they could be a team that could be a 6th or 8th seed moving forward, you know, year in and year out until the East starts to get a little bit better. But they're winning kind of like the 04 Bulls won because the East stinks, not because they're actually that great of a team. So, I mean, but you're right, though. I agree with everything you say about Boylan. It took Boylan really like almost public humiliation to start changing his rosters and changing the lineups. I mean, even now, I mean, I don't think he puts his players in a position to win. I mean, certainly with Lauri Markkanen. Is it Lauri Markkanen's fault that he's always camping out by the 3-point line? Shouldn't the coach do something about it? Isn't it the coach's job to put Lauri in a position where he can have the most success? And if he's shooting, what, 34% from the year from three? Aren't you going to start playing? Well, I mean, even if he wasn't, Are you just going to camp him out at the three-point line all the time? Just have him jacking up threes? I mean, he's not... everything I've said about Lowry, he's not been put in a position to be successful this year.
I agree. Well, I don't blame it all on Jim for Lowry's struggles. When it comes down to it, Lowry hit an open jump shot, which he did tonight. That's been his biggest problem. He's missed far too many wide-open jumpers. All good things come through him hitting the three for him and the team. And his inability to hit open threes has been devastating to this team so far. So I'm not putting all that blame on Jim. And I don't think the offense, like the shots we've been getting, has been the problem. But when you see like stuff like what happened with Gafford, when we all knew, the fan base knew that the kid should have been playing ahead of Luke Kornet. When a fan base in general makes better decisions than this goof, that's a problem. When Denzel Valentine tonight, I understand Shaq Harrison had a really nice game. And he deserves a lot of praise. I love Shaq Harrison. He's a fine point guard, defensive point guard. He's not a three. And when we play a team with a three, we're going to be in big trouble, like Friday night, if Shaq Harrison's starting. When we play Miami Heat. Detroit Pistons don't
have
any
wings.
We don't
have a backup three on this team.
What's that?
I know what you're going to say. We don't have a backup three on this team.
Well, no, Denzel Valentine should be playing. What happened tonight is a travesty. What happened tonight is an absolute travesty that he didn't play with a 20-point win. And I understand, well, they won. You know, how could by 20? Maybe the fact that he isn't playing, to me, means nothing. This guy, could, as I said before, wouldn't know a seasoned vet if it kicked him in the face. This guy doesn't know what he's doing. Gafford sat on the bench for a month. It's obvious he should have been playing. He doesn't know. He did the same nonsense with Parker last year. Who knows? He's got a vendetta against Denzel Valentine. Cut the kid. Let him get on with the team. When you suffered a devastating injury like that and you work as hard as you did to get back, you don't need a meathead like this guy keeping you out. This is a joke. It's a total joke. So just let the kid get on with some other team and let him go. You know, just release him. That's probably the best move, because if this guy's not going to use a guy with talents, we can't hit threes, we're horrible at it, and we can't rebound. And we have a guy on the bench who can do both, and Denzel Valentine, he's just going to sit on his hand. Coach is just going to sit on his hand out of spite and put Ryan A. and Shaq Harrison in at the three just to spite me. That's fine. You want to play that game, that's cool. But it's not going to last. It's not going to get you anywhere when we start playing real teams.
Yeah, and I mean, the Pistons have an unusually small lineup, too. I mean, we started today.
They don't have any wings.
Three small guards. They have three small guards there over on the Pistons as well. And you're right, the minute that we go up against a team that's got moderately sized small forward, you're not going to be able to play this lineup. You're right, especially in garbage minutes tonight. That would have been a good time to bring in Valentine and at least get him some reps and see if he's... I'm sure that he's extremely cold, having not played all season. You're going to need him against teams that have a little bit more size, especially without a out for 2 weeks. I mean, you can't just be waiting for Iyer to come back. And also, you know, this is a team that, as we're seeing, they have teeter-tired in so many games, potentially getting a win, and they've just made a few mistakes, which has led to the loss instead of the win. We can't let this next 2 weeks just be, well, Otto's out, so we start losing every single game. I mean, Denzel brings you a little bit of size. We don't really know what he can do. And he's never really had the opportunity. I mean, his rookie season, he played a little bit, but he didn't play all last year. He's played it all this year. He had a rough preseason, but it's preseason. I agree with you, especially in so few games have you actually had garbage minutes. You had garbage minutes tonight. He should have played a little bit tonight. I don't like Jim Boylan at all. I think that he doesn't hold himself accountable ever. It really, really, I mean, I haven't liked him really since he's become coach of this team. However, it really drove home to me against the Lakers when he refused to put his starters back in the game. And then just the way he put the press conference afterwards, how he stood by his decision, and he tried to say that he's trying to gain experience for his bench. And to me, it's just like, wait a minute. You're trying to gain... You give experience to your bench players on how to play in crucial minutes in the fourth quarter when that's the starters that are going to be in that position, not the bench players. But then also, he comes out the next game and he starts finally staggering the rotations in a way where, one, you don't always have Zach LaVine and Larry Markkinen out together at the same times. He seemed to have learned from his mistakes in the Lakers game, the following game, where he had at least adjusted for him. So the fact that he wasn't able to take any accountability for it, and you know, he put it back on the players every single time, to me, it's a little bit disgusting and self-righteous. And to me also, it's like, who the hell is this coach? He needs to have a little bit of humility, because, like, who's Jim Boylan? Who's Jim Boylan? He's done nothing in this league. And I'm sick and tired of our pack standing by coaches who are not proving themselves. I mean, as far as the last four coaches goes, I feel like three of them have been bust. And Thibodeau at the end became... we're not going to call Thibodeau bust. Obviously, he worked out well for us. But Vinny Del Negro, they went after somebody that nobody knew who this guy was, and he was awful. Fred Hoiberg, nobody knew who he was. We picked him up, handpicked him, terrible. And now we're sticking by Boylan. And I feel like if this doesn't change, if we keep losing close games like this and things like that, you have to fire him this year. You have to do it. You have to make a point. And then you have to go out and get a veteran coach. I'm done with these guys that have never coached a game before. As much as I like the way that we've drafted in the past, and I've always stood back our back for the way we draft, and again, this year, look, Gafford, White, it looks like we drafted well. Looks like we may have picked up some good pieces for the bench, such as Thomas Adoransky, when our pickings were low because we're not a good team. But, as far as us being able to put a guy out there that can lead this team, they've been pretty piss poor.
So you said a lot there. Let me start out with this. Boylan, one of his comments when he was talking about Valentine was, because I said so. That's not an answer for any modern-day athlete. And Urban Meyer touched on this. Urban Meyer's won national championships. The guy's a winner. And he brought up the point, maybe in 1950 you could talk like that because I said so. But players today, you got to sell them. You have to sell them. This guy's not a salesman. He's not. He's not able to communicate in a way that's really going to make a difference with the players. I can tell he's going to turn these guys off, with the exception of Ryan A. and the guys that he continually praises and acts like they're better than they actually are. So that's number one. Number two, I love John Paxson. I think he's done a great job. But he's made his bed with this guy. So I don't know what you're talking about. Like, they're going to fire him and hire another guy? Is anyone who supports... I don't agree with that, Mark. I'm sorry. This better work out, or if it doesn't work out, you need to do, from top to bottom, a full overhaul of the front office and the coaching staff. Because you can't just keep on saying it's on the coach. You're part of the...
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%.
You were part of the decision to hire this guy. And I thought Pax has done a great job bringing in talent. I think this team is talented. I think he's done a good job with this team. But... you guys have said this is your guy, and he's basically a mouthpiece for what you're telling him to do. This better work, because if it doesn't, then I don't think anybody is going to support them picking another guy. Because that's it. That's it. You had a nice run, and eventually all good things come to an end. And this better end well, because if it doesn't, I don't think you should give them the power to pick another guy. That's just my opinion.
And they extended his contract without him showing anything. So they gave him a two-year contract.
You brought up a point here that this was brought up by my buddy at Fly Riv. We cannot find anywhere to get the details on Jim Boylan's contract. He apparently has a three-year contract. However, we both believe it's probably likely that there's a one-year out so the team can fire him after 1 year. That's what at Fly Riv believes. That's what I kind of believe. I wish someone would have asked, Jim, do you have a guaranteed three-year contract? I think it's entirely possible he can be fired. He's on a one-year deal, with a team option for this year. A three-year contract with a one-year out for the team. But again, like I said, no one's going to be happy if he gets fired and then, hey, let's just do another coaching search like we've done.
No one's happy now, though, Fred. Everyone hates them. They have the world against them anyways.
Pax bought a little bit of goodwill this past summer with the moves they made. I really felt a significant thawing of the anger and the hatred for them. But obviously, I think it's now kind of shifted on the gym. But you can't help looking at the guys who made the decision to turn this team over to him. It's still, to me, focused on Jim right now. But eventually, because I think most people would agree, this team is talented enough to make the playoffs, and they have some really nice young pieces. But eventually... you got to start winning. It's got to happen. So we won tonight. Let's see what happens on Friday. Hey, bud, I got to go, man. I got a gig. I got to get practice for that. We're starting right now. 25 minutes, we're back. Come on again, my friend.
Of course. And I'd like to, at some point, just one thing that I wanted to bring up tonight was just the fact, I don't know if you've noticed what James Harden is doing right now.
No.
But did you realize that James Harden right now, if he continues with how he is scoring this season, he's averaging over 39 points a game. He right now is tied for third in the highest per season scoring average in the history of the NBA. Do you know who number one and number two is? So single season scoring average. Do you know who number one and two is? Will Chamberlain and Wilt Chamberlain.
Really?
Yep, he's third. He's averaging almost 40 points a game. If he keeps this up. Then they're winning. They're 11-3. They're playing right now, but they're 11-3.
Awesome, man.
I'm gonna turn it on now.
Mark, I gotta run, brother.
And what a great season. Last thing I'm just gonna say is that it has been so much fun this year, whether the Bulls do good or the Bulls do bad. The fact that Golden State's done, the fact that the NBA is wide open for the first time in like ever, it's just been great. It's been great watching the NBA regardless of the Bulls' ups and downs so far this year. So I'm excited for the rest of the season. I'm excited to do this again.
All right, my man. Good talking to you.
Enjoy your gig, buddy. I want to hear about this singing at some point.
Yeah, let's do another show.
You can sing.
Why don't we do a show on Sunday, and then I'll fill you in on how it went. It's a contest. In fact, I'll try to get an audio recording and play it for everybody. Everybody knows I'm a great singer. And then
Is it a band?
Yeah, it's a band. We're doing another. It's a 50s theme for my son's school, and we actually are competing, and we're singing. It's myself. I'm playing guitar with two other guys who are the lead singers. We're doing harmonies on "Dream." All I have to do is "Dream" by the Everly Brothers. So I'll record.
I look forward to hearing this.
Yeah,
I look forward to hearing
it.
We got to play it on the show.
Sounds good, my man. I will. Yeah, I'll play it on the show. Okay, brother. Take it easy, Mark.
All right. Till next time, Bulls.
It ain't basketball.